So for this 100th episode, I got some of your guests from the past episodes to record follow-ups. We'll be able to listen to those now. They're just short little follow-ups where people tell you or they tell your listeners the things that they wish they would have said in the original episode.
Oh, this is like so crazy because I was like, I thought about this before and I was like, it would be cool if I had like all the guests. Imagine if I had like 1 minute of all the guests and I was like, well, this could be impossible.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming you don't have all the guests, but this is amazing because it's like there's so many core things of all that stuff to come together is incredible.
Between Dreams, episode number 100. The first one is from Barry Friedman, so let's check it out. Here he is, Barry Friedman.
Hey, Chris, it is Barry Friedman from episode 15 of Between Dreams. Holy cow, man, back in the early days. Maybe that was 2014 or something. Hey, congratulations on everything, man. 100 episodes, just baffling. I'm a big fan. I listen to so much. Your book, Just Go, was probably the first book I ever gave my son. And I made him read the beginning of it, and then he finished it on his own. And you're an inspiration. I've loved everything you've done. Watching you move from back east to L.A., and when new opportunities came up, moving back to Atlanta, creating this world-class studio that is just pumping up up-and-coming talent and giving you a platform to really develop your look and feel and style. And I judge that everybody who comes across your path, either as an artist in your studio or hearing your podcast or seeing one of your amazing videos, is better off for having met you. Grateful to have been a part of your journey, man. Keep going. Next 100 will certainly provide even more value and education and inspiration to the world. Take care, my friend. Bye-bye.
Amazing. Thanks so much, Barry, for that. We really appreciate everything that you have also contributed into this world to help make these ideas and these dreams not only possible, but take them to the next level. Thank you so much, Barry. All right, go right on to the next one here. Joel Ward, magician from LA. We'll get right into it.
Hey, Chris. This is Joel Ward. Hey, buddy. Just wanted to say congratulations on your 100th episode of your podcast. Hey, man, it's so great what you're doing for the community. You just help out all the time. You're always just giving. And it's really cool, man. I remember, just at the beginning of quarantine, you were just online and figuring out the virtual game and just sharing your knowledge. And it was just so helpful. And I love doing your podcast back in Los Angeles. I remember the day really well. We were juggling in your apartment. And I don't know, I've always just been inspired with what you do. And congratulations. Keep it up, bud. Thanks for giving all your knowledge and sharing it with the world. Okay, take care, buddy.
Nice. Thanks, Joel. I forgot that we were juggling. We did a little juggle bit after we recorded the podcast. That was fun. That was super cool. And Joel has been super, super great. Same thing. Being part of the world out in the variety world out in LA was super awesome to meet people like Joel who are just like doing cool stuff. All right, next we've got Kent Jenkins, who on the internet is probably better known by Snubby J. You've seen him playing this amazing pipe instrument, dominating for years on YouTube, Facebook, now TikTok, Instagram, viral videos, just one after the other, and people around the world just loving his stuff. So here's Kent.
Chris Ruggiero, Ken Jenkins here, wishing you a happy 100 episodes. I've been thinking about your mantra, Just Go, a lot lately. It's been activating me to be more productive in this trying year more than ever. So thank you for all you do. I have a question for you. Thinking back on our first episode together, I shared how our failures are almost more of a guiding light than our successes. And I'm curious, with all of these years you've put into this podcast, what have been some of the biggest failures you've experienced in becoming where you are today? I hope you and Scott are doing well, and congrats again.
Thanks, Kent. Amazing. Inspiring to see everything that you've been doing throughout all of these years, and particularly in the innovating when a new platform comes along, like in the past year or so, TikTok becomes a thing. Boom, you're in there. And at the time of recording this, I think you have like 1.4 million subscribers. I think about this time last year, you were like talking about TikTok. So it's amazing to see. And, you know, it's like we see those successes through all of the failures that lead us to the success. The failures are the foundational building blocks to the success. And I don't really have like one big failure of this that I think it's like, I never had like one major like blow up failure, but I think it really is that just all the little things, like after an interview, I'm like, ah, man, I could have done this better. I could have responded to somebody's response in this way, or I could like all those really little ones. So I think it's really just that thing. The whole thing, as you said, the just go thing is just get started. And you'll learn a little every day. There's a little thing. Just as I imagine you're on TikTok, you're like, oh, people respond to this. And then they don't respond to this other thing. So it's just a culmination of those little tiny, we'll call them failures, or lessons, little tiny lessons through the failures that lead us to kind of like little bit of gradual change. And then all of the sudden things start to become really big, as you know, from doing amazing viral content on the internet. So thanks again for sharing that, sending that over. All right, next up we've got Mike Kaplan, stand-up comedian and just innovative thinker, just someone who really does their own style of stuff. And Mike Kaplan's amazing, so here he is.
Hi, Mike Kaplan here, honored and grateful and delighted to be back on the podcast. I recently re-listened to my episode, which was number 50, so we're establishing a pattern here. Every 50 episodes, I will return to this podcast, and I'm excited to do it. One of the main things that I talked about was saying yes to things, and I do think it is good to say yes to things, and I'll also add that sometimes it might be good to say other things to things. I listened to a Brené Brown conversation that she had with Russell Brand recently, where she talked about the research that she has done into what is common to compassionate people. And one of the things that compassionate people have in common is good boundaries. So say yes to things, and also sometimes perhaps say other things to things. I also offered that it was good to go out and do things, but that was while it was not during a pandemic. So stay in and do things, you know, or stay in and don't things. There's a Buddhist koan, a Zen koan. There's some kind of koan that I like, which is don't just do something, sit there. So, you know, sometimes do something, sometimes sit there. Hey, while you're sitting there, maybe do something, or maybe try to do nothing sometimes. Big fan. I've meditated a lot more. You might not be able to tell by the clip at which I'm speaking, because I'm not meditating now, but I do also recommend meditation and drinking enough water, which is like several liters a day. I drink at least 3 liters of water a day. It's good for the body and the mind, and perhaps who could even anything else? Body, mind. And third thing, at one point on the podcast, I was asked a question and I said, I have a lot of answers. And now I would say that I have fewer answers in the grand scheme of things, and maybe more questions. I also want to reiterate the big upping of some friends that I mentioned, like Chris Duffy, who has, at the time I mentioned, and he still has this going, a weekly email that I recommend being on called Three Things. He offers every week something great, something funny, and something interesting, and I always get a lot of value learning-wise and humor-wise from that. Chris is great. Follow him. Also, I mentioned my best friend, Zach Sherwin. Zach is a fantastic creator of all kinds of comedy, music, and lately, crossword-related art, performance art. There's a show he does called The Crossword Show, and when people can gather in public, I recommend going to see it if you are where it is. And in the meantime, if you are not where he is or you cannot go somewhere, follow Zach's YouTube and watch all of his videos because they're fantastic. Oh, before I tell you the last friend that I recommend again, I will say this one final thing. I want to offer a retraction. I said on the podcast that I'm not for everyone, and so I'd like to take that back and say that I am for everyone. Please and thank you, much appreciated. So I was so young and foolish back a couple years ago, but here I am now, all older and foolish. So, in conclusion. I'd mentioned on the podcast Ted Alexandro as somebody who was he's a little older than me. He's been doing comedy a little longer than I've been. He's like an elder statesman. I love his comedy and I love his humanity. I've always known him to be living life in ways that I think are admirable. And one thing I brought him up in the context of I have been on a couple of comedy competition television shows, or on America's Got Talent and Last Comic Standing. Ted, I remember as a person who has said like that he loves comedy not as competition, which I also that resonates with me completely now that those competitions are over and I'm done with them. But also just for their own sake. And one of the things that we talked about, Ted and I, on a podcast, my new podcast, Broccoli and Ice Cream, was essentially the very concept of what things you say yes to and what things you don't. Because in the beginning of your comedy career, in the beginning of your career, in the beginning of your life, perhaps, you're taking in so much, and it's great to try so many things because you don't know what's going to lead you where. And eventually, once you've gone down whatever paths you have, once you have experience, then now you do know what some things have led you to. You know what brings you joy. You know what fills your life with meaning. And so now, when people offer you things, if you don't always have to say yes, and you never did. And that episode of my podcast was called Ted Alexandro and the Reasonable No, all about a compassionate person with good boundaries. So that is what I will offer here in this Between Dreams Mike Kaplan 2.0 episode 100, which is 50 times 2. So hope to see you again, hope you'll hear me again in episode 150 and 200 and 250. We'll see. Who knows what's going to happen? But sincerely, it's been an honor, a pleasure, and a delight. Thank you for listening to me and to this podcast. Thanks for having me, Scott and Chris. Peace.
Thank you, Mike. Mike Kaplan, incredible. Again, just innovative and committing to the way that you do things and inviting people to come along. Thank you for the very in-depth contribution to this, and we'll give you a ring on episode 150. You've invited yourself, so how can I turn it down? All right. Next up is Nick Paul, a magician and podcast host as well, from out in Los Angeles. Two Magicians, One Mic is his podcast. So here's Nick Paul.
Hi, Chris Ruggiero. How are you? How's your Tesla? Hope it's nice. I'll take it off your hands if you don't want it anymore. We talked a lot about having fun on stage, from what I gathered, and talked about the process of just like continuing and knowing when to keep going. I think I would, if I were to go back and say, instead of just like talking about getting burnt out, I think I would talk more about just knowing when to take breaks and knowing that it's okay to say no to things more. Because we mentioned that a tiny bit, but I think I think there's something to really just knowing when to take a break, and especially this year has taught all of us as performers, at least the first couple of months of quarantine, that, hey, breaks are good. It's an okay thing. And I've enjoyed it for the most part, the universe telling you to slow down. But I think you need to consciously do that more once we get back to the real world. I think that will be helpful for everybody to focus on. I think everybody has hopefully learned that they're able to take a break and still survive and continue performing, and then you're kind of rejuvenated and get to keep doing it and enjoying it more. I hope any of that rambling makes sense. I hope you're doing well. Hope Atlanta's nice. Eat a peach for me. Okay, bye.
Eat a peach. Thanks, Nick. That was interesting. That these were just random order. It's interesting there with Mike kind of saying at the beginning stages of saying yes to everything, and then kind of as you go in showbiz or whatever, that sometimes you can say no to things and choose the things and craft and curate more of the things that you want to say yes to so that you don't feel overwhelmed or burned out. So thank you, Nick, for sharing that. And when I'm ready to give away my Tesla, you've claimed it. So when the first person I give away a Tesla to will be Nick Paul. All right, we're going to go up to Seth Word here. Seth is a performer, again, from L.A., and you've seen him as different types of animals and characters on every talent show that exists in the world, and we've worked on a lot of comedy sketches and things like that together in L.A., and this is Seth Word.
Hey, Roogie. It's me, Seth Word. I wanted to say that your podcast is incredibly inspiring. You already know that. That's what it's about. But what's inspiring to me about it is that you're constantly finding angles of getting people energized and dropping old habits or the idea that they can't. And if I had some kind of a mantra, I think it would be that you're capable. I'm capable. Everyone is capable. Stop thinking that you're not. I think that the let's go and the in between dreams, not in between dreams, sorry, between dreams idea is similar. It's that stop stopping yourself. And I think that's incredibly important and also very awesome. And my podcast episode that I got to do years ago was amazing for me because it made me sit in the hot seat and talk about that concept. And it kind of made me realize while I'm talking about things I believe in that I actually do believe in them, and that I actually do believe that we all have the tools that we need to succeed. It's just a matter of getting into the right mindset and putting action into play. And so I love that. And I love what you're doing. Keep doing it. You know I'm liked and subscribed. And can't wait to catch up later. Bye.
Nice, Seth. Thank you. Seth, that's nice. Yeah, like just that thing of allowing yourself to jump in and do the things is amazing. And Seth, somebody who's just always doing something, is like, I don't know how many videos, Seth, you have on YouTube, but for many, many, many years, like making videos constantly. That's what it's all about. And we've got one final submission, and it looks like it's from Scott Neary, the guest host of this episode. So this is Scott's contribution and the final previous guest that sent a message in. Here's Scott Neary.
You interviewed me in probably 2014 or 2015, and I still agree with most of the stuff that I said, which is surprising and interesting to me. And I learned some things from my past self by listening to the episode again. So I'm grateful for that. But also, it was our first time really talking, and then we went out to pizza afterward and got to know each other better over the impending years. And we have spent a lot of time together talking about performance theory and entertainment theory and just life ideas in general. And it's been a really enriching friendship for me. I'm grateful to you, and I'm grateful to know you. If I were to fill in the gap of something that I missed in the podcast, well, I would take away the R word that I use at the end, but also I would say that now I have the opportunity as a producer and a consultant to have an impact on other people with the theories that I have, and I'm maybe more humble now that I've had some more experience knowing so many entertainers and experiencing so many people's careers, still fascinated by what people are doing and what I'm capable of doing. I think that you embody a lot of the agility and positivity and generosity that I revere in entertainment, a thing that entertainers really need the most in order to develop the things that we talked about in the podcast, in order to really achieve a high level of performance. One of the main things is getting into a position where they thrive. So pursuing a good life, fulfillment, love of self, and a relaxed confidence so that they can show up and bring the best and the most abundant mindset to their audience, because that's a true gift.
Thanks so much, Scott, for sharing all of that thoughtful recap of back then. And yeah, I almost forgot how long ago that initial podcast was. I was not living in LA at the time, and I was just visiting, and we recorded at Scott's Hollywood apartment. And I just remember being kind of enthralled by the LA scene and what was going on. And Scott has always been a part of that. So thanks to Scott for showing me that. And back then, and which ultimately, like, part, a lot of those things were what ultimately led me to moving to LA and developing so many amazing conversations with him. So with that, thank you to everyone who's been part of the podcast, if you've been a guest or if you've been a listener or both. And thank you especially to the people who sent in such thoughtful and meaningful recaps and memories of their episode. That's like really, really cool to hear that, to relive those experiences and those memories with people throughout all of the years. So we'll just jump back into the interview with Scott. So this is my conversation on the Between Dreams podcast as a guest with guest host Scott Neri.
100 episodes. This is the 100th episode, so I thought we would do something special. We have a special guest every episode, of course, but today we have a special guest who also happens to be our special guest host. So I thought instead of me interviewing someone for the 100th episode, we would switch it up a little bit and we would have someone interview me. If you have been in the Hollywood world, juggling, circus, variety, magic world, anything, you'll know who Scott Neri is. He was my choice to have interview me for the 100th episode. Creator, host, producer of Booby Trap, and now helping entertainers around the world make their entertainment better. And now, he's right here. He's sitting right next to me.
Hey, I'm here. I'm on a computer screen.
We're together
right here,
at last.
Physically inside of a computer screen with Chris Ruggiero on episode 100 of Between Dreams. This is the ultimate episode. The goal of every podcaster is to get to 100 episodes, because that means you can finally retire and stop doing the thing that you love. So here is Chris Ruggiero. I'll be talking to him today about the amazing podcast that he's put together, that he's dedicated himself to so much time in producing and pondering and connecting with people who bring you inspiration and motivation. And I'm pumped. I'm so proud of you, Chris.
Well, thank you. It was funny because somewhat recently you were like, it's amazing how consistent you've been with like this idea of the Between Dreams podcast. It's been evolving a little bit, but like it kind of really has stayed pretty much the same throughout all of it, like what it started as like a couple years ago. And so yeah, that's like a super, super cool thing. And thanks, big part of the, you know, it's like a lot of the Booby Trap and LA performers and stuff were a big part of it throughout all the like the cycles of interviewing people and getting to know more guests and stuff. So that's been really cool that like kind of like your world has been injected into it, even like you know, around the outsides of it. So it's awesome.
Yeah. Where were you when you started your first episode? Where did you record that first episode?
I think it was so it was interesting because it kind of did evolve. The first couple were more like kind of like how NPR shows, like they do an interview, but then they chop it up and then they narrate the interview and they cut to it. I was like trying to do that. And I like rapidly realized that that's just like too much work and didn't really become a better interview. Like I realized that I should just do chats with people and broadcast those chats. And I was in like NACA world for sure, like with other entertainers. And I think like there was like a magician. I even did like two. I tried to like have like themes. So there was like two guests and then I would like try to tie together what they would say. Mm, and it was a kind of a cool thing. And yeah, I was just talking to somebody else recently about like how I bought like a $100 USB mic. And I was like, my workflow was terrible. I had like set up my laptop and then like plug in the USB mic. But then like neither of the people were ever like close enough to the mic. It just like sounded terrible. And yeah, that's like a funny thing now of like where all of my work pretty much is like audio and video and like pretty much all the stuff that I'm doing now for like hobbies, fun projects, work has been built upon those building blocks of, you know, years ago sitting in like a hotel lobby at a NACA conference talking to a magician or something, like huddled around a USB mic. And now it's
what
like,
what did you think you were doing talking to a magician for a podcast back then?
You know, I think it was probably like the very early days of like the Just Go ideas, and it was called the Chris Ruggiero podcast, I think, at the beginning, because it was like the earlier days of Between Dreams where it was just like not really established yet. I had, you know, especially at NACA, so the people that listen to this podcast will know NACA conference is like the college booking conferences, so there's magicians and jugglers and musicians and hypnotists and everything there. So I was like on the sidelines of those conferences. There's like so much off time because you're there for like 4 days and you're hanging out with these people who are the best entertainers in the world, and we would be having these fun conversations, and I was like, we need to like capture these. And I almost like wish, I almost like have a little bit of a regret that I didn't do way more, that like having looking back now, it's like having access to all those people for like 3 years when I was really going to like all the NACA conferences. I almost wish I would have just done way more of it, because it was like such a great place to be seeing so many people that you typically don't have access to, like that many people in person, especially.
It sounds like you're focus kind of changed throughout the podcast, of because you were trying to just capture the things that were cool at the beginning, and now you're thinking about what are your listeners going to want.
Yeah,
and what is going to motivate and excite listeners.
Yeah, and I think that's I think especially like, you know, it was only a couple years ago that we've been doing the podcast, but I think I was also like a very different type of creator. And yeah, I think I wanted to maybe just be like a fun host that was like a fun show. Like comedians just have like fun shows a lot of times where there's not like messages. Yeah. And I think it's just like organically, maybe I've been realizing organically that like that might not be exactly like the type of host. I'm not just like messing around with their friends on the podcast. Really wanted to do something that it was like, hey, there's like these, and I think it's now it's really evolving into like people who decided to do a career that doesn't make any sense, really. It's like, oh, we didn't know that was a job. And that's what I really like. And then so the listeners, they're not just like hearing fun stories of magicians traveling around the country. They're like, wow, I didn't realize that that's like a real job. That's like the thing with like variety entertainers. People think you like when we were doing shows and traveling around, that you just like you show up and do some tricks. And people never realize that like there's a it's a real job, and like there's like work to do all day. Even if you're doing one or two shows a week, there's like work to do every single day. And that was so cool to see the under the belly of the thing of like, oh, these people are like doing crazy amount with marketing and making videos and doing all this stuff. and with a hope to inspire listeners to be like, oh, I wanted to be, design fish tank aquariums. But it just seemed like a thing that wasn't a job. And then, like, build it out to that, where they would be like, oh, if these magicians and jugglers and musicians and whatever, the hypnotists can do this, like, then I can fit in with whatever. And the biggest goal always, kind of from the beginning, was don't make it for jugglers and magicians and variety. I never wanted it to be, like, a resource for variety entertainers.
Yeah, you wanted it to be for anybody that wanted to do something.
Yeah, it's like, because like, there's like so many people who are like, well, yeah, I like really love, you know, it's like, do you think of so many things? Like, I think about that for myself too. I'm like, because I'm like, when I see like candles at the store, I'm like, oh, I could make candles. Or like just with so many things. Like my latest one is like, I want to make like ginger shots. Because
Like ginger juice?
Yeah, and then like the little like vials where you just, it's like a 5-hour energy, but it's a ginger shot. And I'm like, I could like literally somebody bought a juice machine and started putting them in there, and then like came up with a cool name, and then started Instagram. And then like there's then the 10,000 steps and like 8 years of figuring it out. But also like I was like, I could do that for 8 years and figure out how to do this. And I think my mind is like, it does that of like, yeah, I could totally do that. I just need to figure out how to like do it at scale. Like where do I get the bottles? How do I get a label? How do I like get it done legally so that I don't get in trouble for like selling food? And then my brain is just like, yeah. I don't know how to do any of that, but like, I bet I can figure it out if I spend 10 years or something figuring that out. Because yeah. I like didn't know how to do a juggling show, but I just tried it and like, oh, that sucked. Don't do that again. Try this other thing. So I think again, organically, my brain is just like, yeah, I have no idea how to do this, but if I start right now, in like a few years, I'll know how to do it. Like starting a podcast. Like I was like, I don't know, I have $100 Blue Yeti mic, plug it into the thing and start talking to people, and then figure it out. And it's evolved. So and what I found more and more so throughout people that I talk to. Is a lot of people don't have that natural tendency in their brain or in their entire like feeling of them as being a person. They don't have that, hey, that looks really awesome and I want to do it. And I don't know how. So that means I can't start. So when we flip that, there's a lot of people, I think especially variety, it's like I've always been attracted into that variety arts world. Because people in this world just live that. Like, yeah, juggling show. I don't know. But it's not at kids' birthday parties. And then it's like, okay, figure it out. What does that look like? Well, I don't know. I'm going to have to talk to people every day that like don't want a juggler. They don't know that they want a juggler. And so they like sell them, you know, just figure that out. And that's been so awesome to see like of then other people, whether they're variety acts or just like random people. But God, I like... just feel inspired listening to these conversations. So that's like, that's so awesome.
If you're excited about things all the time and you're finding new things that you want to do all the time, how do you, you're saying no to these ideas all the time. Why did you say no to so many things that could have taken you away from the podcast?
Yeah. That's like probably my biggest struggle in general is having that, I guess a bit of a blessing and curse of having that mindset of like, well, I can do anything. I could be the best in the world at anything if I spend 10 years working on it. And then it's really hard to just be like, well, no, you can't do you, but you can do like in your life, like four of those things, maybe if you're like really, really lucky. And so I think in the early days, I was trying everything. Really trying everything, like doing videos and podcasts and juggling show and do the, you know, so many different types of things, making vlogs on YouTube and all of those things. And I'm happy that I did that because it all really helped develop all of those skills. But I think now, about a year and a half ago, I pretty much like completely stopped booking juggling shows so that I could focus on like online content. And obviously it turned out to be a I hate to say lucky timing, but it ended up being a a really cool thing that I was like kind of set up for the world turning into mostly a digital world. You know, I just saw instantly, almost instantly, like how much things changed when I wasn't chasing juggling shows and digital content. It was like focus on the digital content and like really learn the cameras and the lighting and the audio even better and better and better. So the answer to the question is like, how do you say no to those things when you really want to? Is like seeing that the more things that you say no to, the more time you can put into those like 1 to 5 things that you actually want to put the focus onto, of like just seeing that value of like the laser focus of, you know, a light bulb that's a light bulb shining in all directions is not very bright, but then you put it into a laser beam and shoot it and it can like go through walls and stuff. It's really powerful.
So that past year and a half, has that bummed you out at all? Have you had moments of feeling drab or feeling monotonous? Not having the, you're more focused, so you're just not jumping from thing to thing.
Yeah.
And you're not switching channels all the time and feeling like, oh, the excitement of I got a gig and then I got a advertising deal and then I got, and then I'm going to shoot this new project and then I'm going to play with this new juggling trick.
Yeah.
Like there's a certain irresponsibility and like that's kind of wonderful,
yeah,
and an excitement about jumping from thing to thing that helps to distract from who you are, maybe.
That's hard for, and it's like I think every entertainer particularly that tries to do something more like traditional in any sense probably struggles with that, and for sure me, of like, yeah, because it's like every day, like fighting for a gig, and you're like, I did it. I survived one more day. Like, and it's like, and I was never at the point where I was just like smooth sailing. There was bookings on the calendar. It was always like, cool. Like in the next 3 weeks, I got a couple gigs, but I still got to be booking next month. It was never like a 6 months booked out, like a tour booked. And I'm like, cool. Now it was always kind of like, yeah, focus on these gigs, but also like as soon as I get home, I got to book another one. And that's like the worst experience to live in, and also like the greatest thing ever, because A, you like don't ever relax, and B, you don't ever relax and you're like, heck yeah, we gotta go. Like what's everyone doing? Hanging out. Like we gotta, like there's literally like the world is just keeps on spinning, so you gotta keep going. And yeah, now like as I'm not booking the juggling gigs, I'm kind of just like finding other ways to get that the buzz of that. But I think if people are in that moment, it's like there's a fun buzz of like, I'm still doing the podcast, and now I'm like doing a little bit more like outreach to like guests that might be a little bit harder to get. Or then I don't book the gig, but I'm like, oh, heck yeah, this person said yes to be on the podcast. So you can still get that excitement within the bounds. You know, you can still play within the box, but you can still go like pretty crazy within the box.
Yeah.
Which I think
How has your change of direction been challenging for you? Can you tell me about a day maybe that you had that you were really facing something?
Yeah, I think paired with what the last thing can kind of pair within that as well, of there's something exciting also about like doing gigs or one-off video projects or something where you're like, oh cool, when I get this done, I'm gonna be done, I'm gonna get a check, and I can move on to the next thing. And that's awesome too, because sometimes like they're awesome, but also like this fun thing about like going on a new adventure, you know, you like there's something fun about going to a new place on vacation every year, and it's like, oh, it's exciting, all that stuff. It's like you look forward to it. Now, I've been doing more of like a lot of the same, and sometimes it's just like, oh, but you know, because I'm making videos for like corporate videos for a company as like day job type thing, and it's like an interesting one of like, oh, when I finish this project that I'm working on, there's just another, like indefinitely, there's just another thing behind that that I'm going to have to do. And that's been like a little bit of a struggle of like, oh, there's I hate to say, there's no end in sight, because there's like a lot of benefits to having like a consistent lineup of work. But it's like the give and take, the good and the bad of that is there's not a lot of those like days where you're like, oh, I got this big thing and it's gonna be this thing. It's like the slow and steady. It's just like keep trucking along. But so yeah, like a hard day is sometimes when you're just like, I wish I had like something to like drive to. That's why I think it's doing so many side projects as well. Because like if I just like during like the work day, if it's just like, oh, this is like the same kind of thing over and over again, I'm like, all right, I can like stay up till midnight like working on my podcast or like work on the music videos that we're doing and stuff like that. So there's just always that thing of like trying to do the next thing. And it was interesting, the previous, a couple episodes ago, Ben Hilsinger, who's the drummer from Eve 6 now, he was talking about the same thing. He was in like a band and he realized that he didn't really want to be in just like one band and be the drummer for one band. He wanted to be in like several projects. So like he wanted to like get a call from some band and be like, we got a gig and our drummer just dropped off. It's in 2 days. You need to learn, you know, 15 songs. That was exciting to him. It wasn't the comfort of like just locking it in. And now he plays in like a bunch of different projects. I thought that was a cool way. It's the same thing. It's just like finding that new thing, that exciting thing that. And now that I'm thinking about it as like even talking through this, I almost just like saw an image of, to illustrate it, of like people like think outside the box and stuff like that and like do things that are like, oh, over here. And it's almost like, I don't know if this might be a big stretch, but I'm going to go with it. Like thinking outside the box, people are thinking of like a 3D box. So like you're packaged in this thing and you can't go anywhere. But what if we would think about it instead of like a packaged in a box? The box is two-dimensional, like it's drawn on the table, on the floor, whatever. Mm-hmm. So you stay within those bounds of like your core things that you do. You can't just go do whatever you want every day because you're going to be all over the place. You're never going to accomplish anything. So stay within those bounds of that box. But that box is only two-dimensional now instead of three-dimensional. That's completely closed in. So now you can stay within that box that's on the ground, but you can go up as far as you want as long as you stay within that box. So now you're thinking outside the three-dimensional box because you can infinitely go to outer space within those bounds. And I just thought of that when we were talking about that, of like feeling constrained by like a thing. And it's like, mm-hmm. What if we just reframe it where there's no lid on the box? You stay nice. In it, but you can go indefinitely up because you can make whatever you can have. If you're hosting a podcast, you can ask, you know, bigger celebrities to be the guests. And it's like, it's then you get a big buzz. Like, oh, they said yes. Like they're going to be on the show. Something like that. It's like really cool.
Yeah. The person you were when you started the podcast, do you think you would be bothered by what the podcast is now? Or would you be? Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great thinking about like your previous versions of yourself. No, I think that person would be excited that it's going. Talk to a lot of really interesting people, especially the people that were outside that initial world. Again, thinking of the box, like, yeah, stayed within the bounds of people with non-traditional careers, but it went outside of, like, jugglers and magicians. You know, there's, like, YouTubers and like, just people that have cool jobs. And, you know, it's like, yeah, there's just a lot of things. Like, I think that person, me, then would be just excited. Oh, there's even, like, different people that I would have never even thought of asking back then.
Yeah. Because I think it's two different. I think there are two different things that are kind of conflicting. In that, there aren't. Not everybody gets excited about new things and feels like they're capable of jumping into them. But the people that, but also not everybody feels like sticking with something. So, the idea that the people that are excited about things and that are polymaths and like. Really into new projects, usually they just want to go to the next project. And the people that are very good at like having a day job, like just trudging away at the same thing for a while, they're not the people that are a lot of times they're more scared to jump into something new. So I think that's what's interesting about doing 100 episodes of this podcast, is that you did something that you were not qualified to do and you kept on going.
Yeah. Well, it's like, how about for you when you were doing Booby Trap show and you know, talk about being consistent. You actually, like, yeah, it's like, yeah, this podcast has been consistently, like, on brand, but, like, I go, like, 6 weeks sometimes without posting an episode or whatever. And there's something pretty profound about doing, like, what you did with Booby Trap, where I was, like never missed a week, never missed a show for a lot of years.
I'm a very black and white thinker, so if I missed one, then I'd be like, oh, well, I guess I don't have to do it every week.
Yeah.
And also I put so much social pressure on myself to do it that, like, I don't believe in willpower, really. I don't believe that it really exists. I feel like there's just pressure on one side or the other to get something done, either to get it done or to not do it. And so I put a lot of pressure on myself by telling all these performers that it was going to happen every week, telling all the audience members that it was going to happen every week. And then I couldn't escape it until the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, nice.
I'm out.
I'm off the hook.
Yeah. But that's, like, such a interesting thing of, you know, an end to, I'm trying to, like, recap some of the ideas of that as well. One of my favorite lines or ideas was Adam Trent, on his episode of this show, was talking about kind of that thing of, you know, you're out in the wilderness and there's a lion chasing you, and if you slow down, the lion's gonna catch you. But, like, so many times in our own projects, that lion, we're running away from the lion that's also just us. So if we can be like, yeah, cool, just don't do it, and then we stop running and the lion that's also us stops running after, you know, the thing ends. And it's like you said, like, then you're just like, okay, cool, if I just don't have that pressure, I could just say, okay, well, we're not doing it this week because I'm tired. But
right,
building. And he said he kind of would trick himself, like, mornings when he's laying in bed, he would kind of, like, in his mind trick himself to craft that pressure,
right?
And then he would have a reason to go, even if it was still just him, but he would build these, like, scenarios in his mind of, like, needing to go, like, other people are gonna, you know, work today and do this thing if you don't, so you better get out of bed, start doing it. So I think that's a cool thing of what
did that affect you when you heard that?
Yeah, because it's the same thing as, like, I don't do this show or really anything. Like, there's so many projects that I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do this and it's going to be every week. Or, like, daily vlogs or my YouTube channel or the podcast. You know, so many things. And I'm just like, yeah, but I'm doing this other thing now. And it's like, okay, well, cool, I can take a week off. And then same thing. Yeah, then it turns a month later, I haven't posted an episode. So it's like, I really like that thing of, like, what if there's, like, more parameters around it, and building those things, like, putting other people, making other people responsible for your actions, almost like promising things. I do a lot of that. Like, I'll post something, like a poster for a live stream or something, so I have to do it, you know, and, like, right, make people sign up for it. Like, sometimes that's, like, literally for no reason except that I just gonna need to do it then. Like, if I make people sign up for it, then it's like, cool, you got it. These people are waiting. And that's, like, right, such a core thing of, like, which you, I'm sure, can relate to, of, like, I've talked about it a lot, of, like, before shows, I was like, I don't want to go out there. You know, like, what if I just don't? What if the fire alarm goes off and then we don't have to do the show? That'd be pretty great. and just having to retrain that mind of, like, and what I would do is just look out there, because if there's a black curtain, I'm like, I don't want to do this. This is gonna be like, I don't, the sound's probably not gonna work, or then I'm gonna walk out on my remote, or the lights are gonna be in my eyes, I'm gonna see, or there's, like, a way smaller crowd than I thought. And what I would do is look out at individuals instead of, like, oh, there's a bunch of people there that might not like this, or something that could go wrong. I would look at individuals and be like, that person in that one seat could have gone on like the roller coaster at this amusement park, but decided to like come here like 10 minutes before the show started, sit down, pick, and I would like play out this elaborate thing how they made a decision in their like limited time at whatever they're doing that day to come watch this show. And that really helped me of like being personally responsible for that one person's experience. And that's a pretty fun thing of like thinking about it, whether it's like a show busy thing or whatever. Of like, what if there's one person that's counting on you to do that thing?
Do you do that with the podcast? Do you have a listener that you think about?
Somebody yeah, there's been a couple. It used to happen more sometimes that Booby Trap show, because there was a lot of people in those circles that would then say, hey, I listened to that episode. That was awesome. And I'd be like, oh, heck yeah. I like looked at the analytics. There was only like 75 people that listened to that episode this week. And it feels like such a failure of like, oh, only 75 people listened to that episode this week. And then one of them is like, hey, listen, that was crazy. That was so good. That was like such a cool, I never thought about that. And I was like, oh, those are 75 real people. And what always helps me is thinking about with online content, when you have, if you have like 40,000 views on a YouTube video, that's like a super failure for like most people that are doing YouTube for a living.
Right.
And then like thinking about like getting, you know, 200 people to come see you at a show is like the huge, huge success. You know, there's like famous comedians that play every night in comedy clubs that like 125 people come for it. So really thinking about it in that way of there's each one of those individuals. There was like a few people, yeah, at your show, at the Booby Trap show that would pop up. And then even like getting some messages from people that were like, young performers that were like, oh, I didn't think I was good, you know, it's little things like that. And they're like, oh, I submitted to this, my town carnival to be the entertainment. And they said, yes, I would have never thought that I could do that. And then they were just like, be like, oh, yeah, I can just ask people to be the entertainment at the town carnival. And they'll probably say yes, like if I have a good little like show or a video of what I do. So I've gotten some of those and it's really helped. Be like, oh, this is important for like, it's like changed people's lives. Like, it seems crazy to say even that, but it's like, oh, it's like one person might be like, oh, I think I could do this. And it's like, not that I'm saying that much profound things, but I'm talking, but like, after somebody listens and like, oh, there's 100 people who did something insane with their life. Now it's like, that's the point. It's like, okay, maybe that repetition is going to sink into somebody and it'll just be like there's going to be one straw that breaks that back of like they hear it from one more person that just says it the right way. Like I can't say it the right way, but I can talk to people who might just say it the right way that connects to one more person. And that kind of really helps to keep wanting to keep going.
Yeah. What do you think you've taught yourself by doing this? Like you've taught other people stuff and you've opened them up to things. What in the way that you've pursued this, what have you shown yourself?
I think just that kind of pairs perfectly with that previous thought of sometimes you wake up and you, like even today, I had to like set up a bunch of stuff that like I was like, I don't have enough outlets over here to do this thing. And like it's so easy to be like, well, I can just Zoom call it or like cut corners or half-ass it. But like what if I do it the way that I actually want to do it? So like that's what I've learned of like really just doing it even when you don't feel like it. And I think that's the best thing of like showing people that the listeners that they can see that. But then that's also helped like for me. I've seen that as well through the other people saying, hey, that was a really cool episode. So what I've like taken out of that is like, oh, like I'm learning the same lessons that the show is about by forcing myself to like go through the cycles all the time. Cause even for me, I'm always like, yeah, just go do it. And then every day I wake up like, I don't feel like it though. So it's like the message of the show is just as valuable to myself as anyone else who's listening, because I'm like experiencing the show also like as an audience member.
What do you think was missing from you as when you were maybe 13 years old or whatever about the you're proving to yourself through your career right now. Like,
yeah.
For me, I wouldn't be able to believe that I achieved the goals. Like, I can set up a project for myself and achieve the project. When I was a kid, I just had like so much ADD and I was so bad at like school projects and everything. I would be really impressed to know that I could achieve, I could set a project, determine whether I'm going to do it or not at the beginning, and then go for it.
Yeah.
What do you think, like, yeah, what do you think is going, would be different for you or would be impossible for you as a young man, a teenager?
I think when I was growing up, I was like the youngest of, like, I have an older brother and some cousins that were like older. So I was kind of like always the kid that I always kind of had this thing of like, oh, the older kids like know how to do stuff and have confidence. I'm just like the baby. And that was really kind of, I don't think it was anyone who was like trying to like demean my, like, or just like be like bullying me or anything, but just like kind of just by being one of the youngest in like between my brother, cousins, stuff, like a lot of times in those groups, I was just like the little kid. And I think that was a really core thing of like, oh, the older kids know how to do stuff and the older kids can do that because they're older and they know this thing. Like, I need to ask somebody how to do things. If I want to do anything, I need to ask my parents if I'm allowed to do this thing or whatever. And then I think at some point, there wasn't a point, but through like trying to do things, and I'm still learning this for sure, is like, oh, all those people that I was asking were just making it up anyway. And now it's like, you can just make it up without asking anyone to do like whatever you want in like creative ideas or whatever. You can just, so yeah, that's changed from like, maybe from a kid, I would be like, well, who am I? And I think everyone who's ever created something feels this. Who am I to start a podcast? Like, why would anyone want to listen to me? Who am I to write a book? Why would anyone read it? Who am I to start a YouTube channel? Why would anyone read it? Who am I to be a actor on TV? Like, you know, I'm not good at that. Other people are good at that. And then, you know, it's like, and I'm sure you can think about that. Or you talked, was it Alex? I think Alex Clark said something about like being in an acting class and they like let them go watch auditions or something. And he was saying how like everyone, like, was it you or Alex?
Me.
Oh, okay. I was like, is somebody, yeah. And then about how it was just like everyone showed up and they're just like terrible. And if you like, you just have to like kind of show up and not be terrible. And then you're like a professional.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be good at it. But then also you're just like, oh, like, I just show up and not be a complete mess.
Right.
And now you're like
top three.
The top. Yeah. Now you're the best. And like, you're just, because you keep showing up. And ultimately, like, you will actually be good because you keep showing up also.
Yeah.
And that was, yeah. So I think that's just like a really interesting thing of, it's like the imposter syndrome, I guess, of people being like, well, I'm not that type of person. And then the more particularly, the best probably lesson that being in showbiz I've ever learned is like, nobody is that type of person. You know, even like Justin Willman on the episode, he talked about it. He's just, you know, is like seen as one of the top magicians in the world as far as like hitting a successful run of like doing the coolest things that you could possibly do in his world. And in that episode, he just talks about, he's like, yeah, I don't know, I'm like doing a thing right now, but then like after this, I don't know, might not have a job. And also, like, I don't know, just keep trying new things. And then it's like so cool to see like his frustrations when you're just like, oh no, dude, you're like the you're like made it. And he's like, yeah, but like also everyone says no to me all day. It's like it's like the same thing. Like you're seeing the Netflix show and the sold out things, but you're not seeing like, you know, 7 years of Comedy Central saying no to his pilots and all those things that he's tried and all of that. So that's, I love that from the change of when I was a kid up until probably very recently until now is like, oh, screw it. Like everyone's just making this up and I could just be another person who's making it up and try to be good at it.
Yeah. I see that a lot. Because like, I feel like I don't have a way to phrase it for some reason. I say it to myself all the time. It's like the advice that I give to other people is the advice is I'm not expecting them to follow it.
Yeah.
It's probably the thing that I need to hear the most.
Yeah.
And it's going to make the biggest impact on me. It's going to give me, that's the advice that I need is the advice that I give.
Yeah.
So like, as I see you coaching people through, like, dude, get out there. Just go. I see you telling yourself like, oh, that's right. I got to go.
Yeah.
And putting that pressure on yourself because now you're in the limelight telling everybody if you're not going, if Chris Ruggiero is not going, then he's going to get caught being a hypocrite.
Yeah.
So the pressure's on.
Yeah. It was one of my favorite lines in the, a couple years ago, I made a video about going to Hawaii with my friend Kip. Mm-hmm. And there's like one of my favorite lines in it. It like opens like, last week my friend Kip called and asked if I wanted to go to Hawaii with him. and it was like, at first, you know, the line was something along the lines of, at first I was hesitant because I don't have like just unlimited money to go to Hawaii for no reason. But then I was instantly reminded of a book with a simple two-word title, Just Go. And it was like, I'm butchering my own quote here of what the thing was. So it was like, I did write the book after all, so my decision became simple. And then we're like in Hawaii, you know, it's like so cool. It was like, I think that is big of like putting that responsibility out there. That's kind of creating the lion to chase you, even if it's yourself, and say like, I wrote the book, so like I literally can't make excuses ever for the rest of my life about like not having resources or like the ability or anything ever
or
forever
permission.
Or permission or the, you know, nothing. No excuses for the rest of my life because everyone can be like, dude, you're the guy that's like, you can't, you know, it's like a preacher or a motivational speaker or something up on the stage. Like they can't get off stage and be like, you know, they obviously have emotions and like real human things, but like they've decided to be a leader. Now you have to be a leader and leading by those examples and those actions.
What's the voice do you think that you hear when you don't want to just go?
The excuse voice?
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I have it all the time of like, well, I don't have, well, I'll get it like here. Cause like, there's like people that make noise upstairs sometimes. And I'm like, I just need a place. I need a real studio where there's no noise. Then I could host more podcasts. Or there's cars driving. It's like, oh, I need a studio that had, you know, same thing. Or just with like everything. And it's funny that like I have that because I think I ultimately have that maybe like at a really high level of like really coming up with excuses, which is why I've built all of this, I'm sure, of like that, as you said, like I needed to build a system to remind myself like the advice that I give is really just for me. And but yeah, like literally every day, like everything I do, I'm like, well, this just, I don't have what I need to do this the way that I want to. And a big thing that I've learned is, you know, thinking about wanting like a better camera or a better monitor to look at or something. I've like throughout the years, not like just gotten everything I ever wanted, but like throughout the years of like, oh, I want this dream camera. Then I would like work hard and figure out how to do a gig that I would get paid a couple $1,000s for. And then like, okay, cool. I'm using that to buy the camera. And then it would be like instantly like, well, now I need two of them. And now it needs a monitor like this on it. And I need the $500 microphone to put on top of it. And then I got the light that I liked, but it's actually not as good as I thought it was going to be, so I need the one that's twice as much. So I learned that is just always there. Like, you could give me like a free credit card to the camera store, and every day I'd be like, okay, cool, what's next? And I would never get there. So that's an interesting one to think
about. What do you think that's doing for you?
I think that's good. I think that's great, actually, because I can call myself out because of it. I can say, well, yeah, but you've already got all this stuff that works great. And you had all this, enough stuff 3 years ago that was good enough. And there's always a thing that I'm like, yeah, but if I had this, it would be, a little bit easier, or it would be a little bit easier for me to just jump in and do it. And that's ultimately what I think the whole show is, showing people that if you feel like you're the little kid at the kids' table, like maybe you are right now, but you can also just like walk over and be like, hey, I want to sit at the adults table and do stuff over here. And then they'll probably be like, oh yeah, sure. Like, yeah, we just thought you wanted to sit over there because it was coloring book, And I think that's like the ultimate thing. Like, what if you just say, no, I want to come over here. And then everyone's like, oh, heck yeah. And they'll, sure, you can do that. That's great. We just thought you didn't, it's like a lot of people just don't ask because they don't think that they can. And then other people are like, oh, no, I thought you just would have asked if you wanted to go do this thing.
Yeah.
Or just do it.
What do you think? What do you think you're going to ask for next year?
I don't know. I'm going to ask for, like, I'm going to be annoyed as soon as we hang up on this thing. And I'm gonna be like, if I had a better headphones, that would have been way better. it's like stupid all the time.
Yeah, but the headphones thing is just that's your like shadow voice or whatever trying to hold you back.
Yeah.
What do you want? What do you want? You don't want headphones. You want like, what's the result?
Yeah.
What would you like next year to bring you?
Yeah. So next year, I want to digging into the thing of the consistency and like showing up of like, that's the one thing. If the guy that started the podcast could see this, he'd be like, oh, a lot of cool stories got shared. What if you actually did show up every week and do an episode? Imagine then where it could have gone. So coming into the new year here, I think that's the goal of like, actually be consistent and actually keep that lion chasing after me, and don't come up with the excuse of like, well, the lion's me, so I can just chill out. So I think coming into it is like, that's what I want, to actually take my own advice again in all of this and jump in and like be like, cool, like you gotta do it, like what you did with the Booby Trap show. Like, if it's black and white that you gotta keep doing it, then like build that law that can't be violated. And it's like, yeah, even if you like, because then you were like, you have to fly to a different country and do a show for a month. Okay, cool. But you're going to like figure out a way to have guest hosts. And like, that was not easy. There was a lot of times in that where I bet you could be like, well, we'll just take a month off and then we'll be back because it needs to be right. I'm the host. It doesn't make sense for us. But nope, this is the law. A show every week.
Yeah. Cool. How are you going to do that? How are you going to put that pressure on yourself?
I don't know yet.
Maybe the podcast has weekly content that matters when it happened.
Yeah.
Maybe you start advertising it as a weekly show and paying for ads.
Yeah. All right. We can do it right now. New Year's resolution. There's a podcast episode every week.
Okay, it starts on what date?
January 1st.
January 1st, he's releasing his first weekly podcast of Between Dreams.
Yes, and anyone who's listening right now, including Scott as the witness, you can stay on top of it and be that lion. This is my cry for help. For people to hold me accountable when it doesn't come out, you could be like, "Hey, look, we're waiting." And if that's two people, that'll be great. That's amazing. If there's one person or two people that are like, "Hey, we're waiting for this episode," to hold that accountable and say, "Let's actually do this thing," And if I don't have guests or something, I can hop in and do a solo episode. So I'm not relying, not like at the mercy of somebody else who canceled that week or something like that. I think that would be cool. I can hop in and do a recap or something of the previous week or something like that. So let's do that. We'll lock it in.
Okay.
You've inspired January me with the 1st. Weekly black and white. There's no gray area. You got to do the show.
Yeah.
You got to show up.
Well, what does between dreams mean?
Between dream, that's really kind of kept the consistent vibe and energy of what that was as well. And speaking of Kip, who was the person we went to Hawaii with, I was in the middle of the desert in Arizona with him, and there was this idea. Like, I was doing a show at the Navajo Reservation College, at a college in the Navajo Reservation, and I asked him if he wanted to come, like, fly in and meet me in Albuquerque, and then we would drive over. And there was like some song, you know, driving through the desert is so cool because you always have insane ideas. And there was some song lyric or something that was like between the dreams and the this or something. It said something like that. And I was like, God, that like just kept resonating in my mind of this thing of like we have dreams every day of like what we want to do. And most people live in the dream state. But what really matters is what you do between dreams is life. And it was like so inspired. And then my buddy Kip, who I've known kind of my whole life, it was like a lot of people like, oh, imagine going to the desert with your friends and hanging out and dreaming of that forever. And it's like Kip and hopefully me and, you know, I was living that hopefully how I imagined it of like, oh, like between dreams, we're out here living and not just thinking about it. And it's been really core to that since then. So between dreams is, you know, big dreams and goals are important, but what really matters is what you do between dreams, because that's your everyday life.
Hmm. And does that, I think people are afraid of following their dreams sometimes, or one of the voices that comes up with people is that if they do the thing that they love or that they are excited about or whatever, that they're, it's going to kill that thing for them.
Yeah.
Like, I really love making new making sneakers from scratch, but if I started doing that for a living, then I wouldn't enjoy it anymore.
Yeah.
What do you say to that voice?
I mean, I feel that.
Because, like, there's something magical about dreams, right?
Yeah.
There's something exciting and endlessly, boundlessly, it goes on forever. And it's such an adventure, and we don't have to deal with any of the hard parts.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's like one of those things is like, but if that dream is like, yeah, I think there's some stuff where I'd be like, ah, I think it would be fun for me to have a, you know, my own island. And I'm like, well, that's fun to think about, but I don't really like, it's not like my big goal of mine or anything. So it's like fun to do that. So, but I think if the things are important enough to people, the turmoil that they wake up with every day, that it's still just a dream, can be powerful enough to say, yeah, it's perfect in my mind, and that's cool, but it's driving me completely insane every day, knowing that I actually could maybe make it just as good in real life. So for me, it's like that like imaginary world of it is like, yeah, it's cool, but also it's like really, it can be really cool if it's real and like 1/10 of the vision. So I just made that decision. And I think I often have to do that vision of 1/10 of it being real is better than 100% of it being a dream.
Wow. That's cool. If the podcast were a person, what would you like to say to the podcast?
There's people who are getting a lot of like value and appreciate it. So like it should keep that life and that energy, even though the podcast probably is like, oh, I wanted to be a bigger podcast with more. That podcast probably had a dream of being a bigger podcast. So I think it would be good to tell that podcast, even at a 1% of what its potential is, still really good and valuable.
Beautiful. I think that wraps up Between Dreams, episode 100 with Chris Ruggiero.
Yes. Thank you so much, Scott, for being the guest host and bringing all of this. You know, it's like, and again, what you did to with staying consistent with all of your ideas and bringing those dreams and not being content with letting them live in dreams and bringing them into reality has inspired like this show and probably easily half of the actual guests that were on the show have been, you know, benefited from the work that you did as well throughout all of it. So it's really appreciated.
Thank you. Thanks for having me part of your world.